Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
Today we're in James chapter 3. James chapter 3. For those that are brand new, we've been in a verse-by-verse study through the book of James. It's in the New Testament. James is actually Jesus' stepbrother, half-brother, you could say. And so James had a front-row seat to Jesus as he grew up. And in fact, many people believe, and there's even biblical evidence, that James was not a believer, that Jesus was the one true God until after James saw Jesus die on the cross and raise from the dead. How many of y'all know that would be pretty convincing, right? Someone not only to die like they said they would on the cross, but to raise from the dead 3 days later. And so then James sold out for Jesus, and God did a great work in and through James, including this book. There's five chapters in the book of James. They're short, and we're in chapter 3 today. It's so practical, so helpful, and God's got a word for you. And just like he moved in first service, he's going to move in this service as well. But James chapter 3, I'm going to read starting in verse 3 all the way through verse 10, and I'm going to read out the NIV. And if you didn't bring a Bible, brand new to church, brand new to God's word, we'll have the words on the screen, in the room and online. Here's what it says. James writing, the Holy Spirit speaking through him. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. So he starts with an analogy. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body. So here's the analogy. Our words, our tongue, small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse God's kids, human beings, who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise, but also cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. If you're taking notes, I'm calling this message, Tame That Tongue. We're going to talk all about our words today. Tame that tongue. Would you bow your heads with me? Close your eyes here in this room if you're able to safely online. Lord, we love you so much. Thank you for what you already did in first service and what you're doing even now in this service, Lord. And I just pray that you'd speak to every heart, every mind. I pray, God, you would encourage us, but also challenge us. And like we've talked about in this series and through, going through the book of James, a journey through James, just like we've been talking about, we don't just read your word, but we react to your word. So help us to apply what we learn, or for many, what we relearn today. Help us to apply it to our everyday lives. We give you glory and we give you honor. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Now, at the very end of the message, I'm going to give you three reflections or three takeaways from James chapter 3. But first, I want to give you the main idea, like my sermon in a sentence, exactly what James is talking about. And I hope you'll write this down. We learn here that we are all a reflection of God, an echo of the source. I want you to write that down and we'll unpack it throughout the message. But we are a reflection of God, an echo of the source. And specifically, we're talking about our words, what we say or what we type on social media. It is an echo of the source. It should be a reflection of God. I'll say it to you this way. Your words and my words, if we say we follow Jesus, they should be in harmony with what God has already said in his word. our words should back up what he's already said. Now, I want to show this to you, and we're going to have some fun. If you're brand new to Christ's covenant, we believe that church should not be endured. It should actually be enjoyed, okay? And so you are allowed, in fact, you're encouraged to smile and laugh, even if you have to laugh at me. That's cool. But let's have some fun together, and Pastor Dante is going to help me out. He's going to bring up a Bluetooth speaker. Now, I know I'm pretty young, but still, we know Bluetooth is somewhat new. How many remember CDs, and then you had cassette tapes? Who here grew up with some 8-track? Anybody? We got some 8-track. All right, I like it. And then maybe you had a record player. Maybe you still have some vinyls. But we're going to use some Bluetooth today. I got to make sure that we're connected here. As I'm using Spotify, I don't know what you use, but let me test something out here and see. Okay, we're good. So why don't you hold the microphone up to that, and we're going to have some fun together. Now, I want you to have this image in your mind that here, I am the source. That is just an echo of the source. The only thing that speaker can do is what I tell it to do. Now, how many of y'all know music has changed a lot throughout the decades? Like a lot. And in fact, I think it's kind of debatable whether the music that comes out nowadays is even music. Like, just some of it just sounds like noise. Like, can we be honest about that? And so the music I'm going to share, I got my playlist here. It's not new, okay? And so nobody, like, tweet at me or email me. All that stuff's old. I'm telling you right now, it's old. I think old school is still cool school. And so this first one that I want to share with you here in just a second, it's a song that I sing to our two youngest kids. We've got three kids. Most of you know that. Our oldest is Luke, our son, and then the two youngest are girls. And from day one, like right when they were born, I've been singing this song I'm about to play for you over them. And I sing every once in a while when I get carried away, and y'all know I do not have a good voice. But even though I don't have a good voice, my little girls, they love to hear Daddy sing over them. Now, I know that will change when they become teenagers, but anyways, right now they like it. And here's the song by the Temptations that I sing over them. Come on. Why don't you snap along? Come on, let's have fun together in church. You can snap. Sing that so bad, but I don't want to make anybody else. So somebody's thinking, let's just play that song and then just have an altar call and be done, you know? Like, do you even have to preach, Pastor? All right, here's the next one. We got any country music fans in the house? Okay, we didn't have many in first service like that were country music fans. So I had to remind them, we live in Texas, okay? And so this next song, now, one thing I got to say about country music. The country music that comes out nowadays, it's not country music. It's just pop music pretending to be country music, okay? Let's just be real about that. Like, when I talk country music, I'm talking about the good stuff. I'm talking about some George Strait. I'm talking about some Tim McGraw, even throwing a little Faith Hill. I can even do some Shania Twain, okay? Like, I'll just say it. Like, I'm talking about the old stuff. And this next one, this song was the jam back in the day, and if you could see the cover art of this artist, he is rocking the mullet. I had a mullet in the early, oh, it was so good. What is it? Business up front, party in the back, right? You know? And this guy, he had a one-hit wonder. It was so good. Let me play it for you here. Now skip forward. Oh, you can tell my lips to tell my fingers. Anybody know this song already? They won't be reaching out for you no more. That was embarrassing. Why did I do that? Anyways. Anybody line dance? You know, electric slide, you know, that. I mean, that's just good stuff right there. Achy, breaky heart. Again, I wish you could see this picture of Billy Ray Cyrus right now. Anyways, this next one, we got any parents? Let's have some fun. It's okay. It's okay to have fun in church. It's encouraged. Anybody here, parent or grandparent of young children? Would you let me know where you, oh my goodness. We need prayer, don't we? Like, we just need lots of prayer. This next song haunts your dreams. That is straight from the devil. I just got to tell you that's what's happening in hell right now, just on a continual loop. Oh, my goodness. Lord, help us. This next one, I've offended so many people today. It's like I'm going to get so much like feedback, but not great feedback. Why'd you play these songs in church? Because I wanted to have fun. That's why. But anyways, this next song, it's from my wife's playlist. And I say my wife's because I'm embarrassed to say that it was maybe on my playlist too. But it's a boy band. Y'all remember boy bands being real popular in the 90s, even into the early 2000s. And this song, it was pretty popular back in the day. You'll see if you know this one. Somebody's got the Holy Ghost over here. All right, here we go. Hey, hey. Bye, bye, bye. That kind of deal. In sync. Wow. Oh, this next one I really like. This next one. This was really popular, like for youth lock-ins, and it was played. This is some church music, but it's called gospel soul music, and we like that kind of music in our house. And this next one comes from Kirk Franklin, and again, it was late nights. I remember being a part of a youth lock-in for Y2K. Y'all remember Y2K? Everybody thought the world was going to end, and there I was, a part of a youth lock-in. We had all these teenagers there, and this was one of the songs they played. And when they played it, everybody it was wild up in that youth group. Here's the song here by Kirk Franklin.
Book of Revelation, chapter 7, verses 16 and 7.
Which, by the way, my wife knows every word to this song. She can rap it later if you ask her.
Yes, sir. They shall hunger no more, neither shall they
thirst anymore.
Anybody
know this song? Anybody?
Preach, like, for God shall wipe away. Yes, sir. Every tear from their eye. Yes, sir. Get ready.
That's good stuff.
For the revolution. Come on. What you say? Come on. Do you want a revolution? Do you want a revolution?
That's a good. Oh, this last one. This last one was played in every. This last song, this is a worship song. It made it into every denomination. Y'all know there's some songs that like maybe just like a non-denominational does like us, where we got lots of different people. But then there's other songs that maybe doesn't translate. This song was in every kind of denomination, Christian denomination, church. It's Hillsong United back in the day. So good. I mean, even the Methodists played this song. I'm just telling you, man, it was awesome. And it had one chorus essentially that you would sing about 100 times. Okay, so here's the song by Hillsong United. So good. I gotta skip forward. It's got like a minute intro. Here we go. Let's crank that up. Anybody remember this one?
An awesome God, he reigns from heaven above.
So good. When this song came on, you just knew the Holy Spirit was about to fall in that place. Who sang this in church before? Okay, that's it. Now I know who I'm talking to. So good. Now here's what I want you to see. Again, I want us to have some fun, but I also want to make a point, the same point that James is making in James chapter 3. Remember, we are all called to be a reflection of God, an echo of the source, and that's what just took place here. That speaker on its own, it can't produce any sound, any music. It's got to be connected to the source, and that speaker only played what I told it to play. Only. In fact, what just happened? It never told me, that speaker, it never said, you know what? I don't want to play Christian music anymore. Or I don't want to play Achy Breaky Heart. Let's go back to something else. It never told me no. It played, it said, it spoke out exactly what I told it to. And how many of you know, when we say we follow Jesus, our words should also reflect God, and they should be an echo of God, the source, and we should only say what God tells us to say. Can I get an amen in God's house? Thank you so much, Pastor Dante. You can have a seat. I got a couple more things to say. I know some of you are like, let's be done. We ain't done yet. A few things, three things to give you. We are a reflection of God, an echo of the source. Number one, would you write this down? This is all from James chapter 3. This is first one is from verses 3 through 4. But James teaches us, number one, that our words, they direct. They direct. You need to know that about your words. What you say, what you post, your conversations that you have with your friend, how you talk to your kids, how you speak to your spouse, how you talk about your boss behind their back. it, all your words, that they direct us, they guide us. And James, he uses two analogies that we read. He talks about the bit in a horse's mouth, and then he also talks about the rudder, a small rudder of a big ship. And we can relate to those analogies here in Houston. Of course, we've got Galveston just about an hour or so south of us, and we see those huge cruise ships that go out, and they've got a small rudder in comparison to basically a city that just can float on the water. But I really want to focus on the first analogy, the horse's bit, because we are in Texas. We do live in Houston, home of the rodeo. Bless God. You know, like that's where we live. And so I want to talk about that one for a moment because I think it's so, so helpful when it comes to our words. It was this last summer that my wife and I, we took our three kids to see her family in Nevada. We try to get out there at least about once a year or so. And this last summer we were there, and one of the things we did, they live in Carson City, so northwest Nevada. But when we go to Carson City, we try to go to Lake Tahoe because it's about a 30-minute drive, and we did that this past summer. And so we drove out to Lake Tahoe, and myself, my wife's dad, and our oldest child, Luke, our son, who's 8, we went horseback riding right up one of the mountains there in Lake Tahoe, and it was absolutely beautiful. And got a picture I want to show you of our son, Luke, here on a horse. There he is. Look at him representing NASA, right? We take Houston wherever we go. Our city's awesome, by the way. I know if you lived here for a while, maybe you don't think it's awesome. And so he's got his NASA shirt on, and there I am kind of in the middle. I'm from Dallas, so I am wearing a Dallas Cowboys hat. Forgive me for that. I'm still mourning from what happened a couple of weeks ago. But anyways, and so look at our son there. Here's what I want you to see. That horse that my son is sitting on, it outweighs him by 1,000 pounds at least. At least. But not only that, that horse is about 10 times at least his strength. And yet my 8-year-old son could sit on that horse, and he told the horse where to go by using the reins attached to a small bit, a small metal bar in the horse's mouth. And so even though that horse was a lot stronger, that horse's will bent to the will of my 8-year-old son because of the bit in his mouth. And that will preach right there, and it's exactly what James is talking about. That even though you may think that your words are insignificant, they are not. They actually have great significance. And even though our tongue is such a small part of our body, I'm telling you, it can direct your life. But not only your life, it can direct the lives of those that you speak to or talk with. And so Christians, I know we're not all Christians, but I'm talking to Christians right now. We've got to do better with how we talk and the things that we say, because they actually bring direction and guidance to our lives and the lives of people around us. Now, disclaimer, there was a whole movement, and it's died down a lot. Thank the Lord for this, because it's not a move of God, it's a move of man. But there was a whole movement, and it was really big decades ago, called the Prosperity Movement. In this movement, people would take passages like this, and they would take it to the extreme, and they would take it to a place that God never intended it to go. Here's what I mean. There's a whole group of people, and there was a lot of them decades ago. There's still some today. But there's a whole group of people that thought if they could just say something out loud, it would automatically happen. It's called the Prosperity Movement, or maybe you've heard of the Prosperity Gospel. That if I can just say I'm going to be a millionaire one day, I'm going to be a millionaire. How many of y'all know that it doesn't work like that, right? But there's a whole group of people, a whole movement. And so they would, there was all kinds of phrases that you would use to describe them. It'd be like this. You could name it and claim it. You could speak it and seek it. You could blab it and grab it. I mean, this whole movement of people that took it to the place that God never intended it. That's not what God is saying here. Here's what God is saying, is that when your words are in harmony with what God has already said in his word, that's when it's going to happen. When you pray according to God's perfect will, you're coming into alignment with what God has already said, and you can take it to the bank that that's going to happen. You with me, Christ Covenant? That's what the direction is talking about. That when I start to talk like God talks, when I start to say things that I've read in God's word out loud, that's when I've got direction. That's when I've got guidance. That's when I can know that it's going to happen because God already said it. I'm just coming into agreement with what God has already said. Our words, they've got power. They direct our lives. Here's the second one, just real quick, hitting these three. Number two, write this down if you're taking notes. James tells us that our words, he reminds us that they have the power to destroy. To destroy. This is verses 5-8. So not only do they direct, but they can destroy. In the same way that our words direct, they can also destroy. And the example he gives is fire. And I think that's another great example, a great analogy, because we all know that wildfires that bring all this horrible destruction, it doesn't start big, it starts small. It's one match, it's one pyromaniac, right? Like doing something crazy in a field somewhere. It's one person flipping their little cigarette butt out the window on the highway. Like it starts with one spark. Also this past summer in Nevada, that's when all of the horrible wildfires were taking place in California and also in Nevada. And you saw that on the news, and it, of course, lasted a long time past the summer. But I'll never forget being there. And not only was there the fires, and people, as you saw in the news, they lost their lives, they lost their homes, they lost their land. All that's true. But what really shocked me seeing it in person was not just the wildfires, but it was the smoke that came from the wildfires. Y'all know there's a lot of mornings here in Houston, just because the temperature changes and all the kind of stuff and the humidity, that we have crazy fog in the mornings, you know, and it's difficult to get your kids to school or to get to work if you're still going into work. And really being there in Nevada this past summer, it was like that, but with smoke. I had never experienced, like honestly, if we were in that environment like it was this summer when we were there, the smoke was so bad. If we were in that environment now, I couldn't see you. And you couldn't see more than a couple feet in front of you. The smoke was that thick, that bad. Not only could you not see, but there were certain days that we were there that they told you on the news you should not be outside, because if you went outside, it was very likely that you would get sick and have to go to the hospital. The smoke was that thick, that bad. And again, this will preach right here, because how many of you know, it's not just the initial impact of your words that can hurt somebody. Our words also leave a wake. And our words don't just impact our kids or a spouse or a friend or a coworker or an employee underneath our leadership. It doesn't just impact them in the moment. Our words can continue to reverberate on and on and on. I've had so many counseling sessions with men and women who are 50, 60, 70 years old who are still struggling because of the toxic words that their mom and dad spoke over them when they were just a teenager. Words have weight. Words hold power. They leave a wake. It's not just the initial impact. There's words that they can continue on, and we replay them and we hear them over and over again. And I'm telling you, James warns us that Christians, people who love Jesus, we've got to be really careful to think before we speak, or should I say it this way, to think before we post. We got to be real careful, because our words can actually destroy people's lives. They're like neutron bombs. I don't know if you know anything about those, but neutron bombs, they leave buildings intact, but they kill all the human life on the inside. And that's what our words can do. The person's physical body, of course, is still there, but they are dead on the inside because of what we said out of anger or frustration. And how many of y'all know you can apologize and say you didn't mean it, but you've already said it. Oftentimes the damage has already been done. And so James warns us, we got to be real, real careful. Number three, the last takeaway, and pastors, if you don't know, we have this disease when it comes to like public speaking and all of our points, like we love it when they start with the first, like same letter, like first letter, same letter. And so this one starts with a D as well. But number three is this. The third takeaway, James warns us that our words should never be duplicitous. Duplicitous. And if you've heard me preach even just one time, you know I don't normally use words with more than two syllables. I did go to Bible college, you know. But this word fits perfectly what James is talking about here. And he spends verses 9 through 10 on this idea. That our words should not, we shouldn't have double speech. What James says is that we should not praise God on a Sunday morning and then curse God's kids Sunday afternoon. We read that. James says you shouldn't be known for praising God one moment and then you talk horrible to your spouse the next day. James says, hey, don't you praise God at church, but then demean your kids when they make a mistake later on that week. James says, that's wrong, people of God. That's being duplicitous. That's praising one moment and then cursing God's kids the next moment. And you need to know that, by the way, that every single one of you, you are one of God's children. You are made in God's image, God's likeness, as James says. And so how could we dare praise God but then curse one of his kids? How many of y'all know that ain't gonna fly with me? Pastor, you're great, but I hate your kids. Y'all think that's gonna make me happy? Y'all, no. My kids are my kids, and they can make every mistake. Come on, let me talk to the parents' hearts for a second. We want the best for our kids. We want them to make wise decisions. But how many parents know, and it's all of us, that even if your kids made horrible decisions, they will still always be your kids. Right? That will never change. You will always love them. Are there consequences? Absolutely. But they will always be your kids. So often, James, and again, the Holy Spirit inspiring him, working through him, James is like, so often, God's people, they'll bless God, praise God, but then they'll cut down God's kids, and it's wrong. And so what does that mean practically? We are not called to be the judge on other people's salvation. I know we love to be judge and jury. I know we love, hey, they're guilty. That person's got issues. That politician is straight from hell. You know, all these different things that we feel and we believe and we got the Bible verses. I get all of that. But how many of y'all know God's the judge? God's the one that decides. God knows what's really going on. God doesn't, he's not just limited to the today and the past. He also sees the future. So often we choose condemnation for somebody and God's like, hey, are they still alive? Are they still breathing? I'm working on them. We shouldn't cut them down. We should pray for them. And it got real quiet up in here, so I'm just going to believe that somebody's being convicted by the Holy Spirit. We got to do better, people of God. Praise God one moment and then blast another church that we disagree with on social media or another pastor or whatever. Like, that's wrong. Got the heroes behind the keyboard. Man, those thumbs just be working, just posting all this stuff. Shouldn't praise God one moment and then curse God's kids the next. Yeah, are there issues in our world? Yes, but pray for that person. Pray for that politician. God's not done working in them, and guess what? God doesn't want to be done working in you either. We are all a work in progress. We'll have to go back again, Peter. I skipped a reference from James chapter 1, but I want to give it now. We already went through James 1, but I love this verse, and it applies to words. James chapter 1. Verse 26, it says this. If someone believes they have, I'm reading out the Passion Translation. If someone believes they have a relationship with God, but fails to guard his words, then his heart is drifting away, and his religion is shallow and empty. That's pretty clear. That if you say you follow Jesus, if you say you live for Jesus, but your words sound nothing like Jesus, you need to question your relationship with Jesus. Remember, you are not the source. You are an echo of the source. I wonder today, what is your source? Is it Jesus or is it the devil? It's really the only two options. Wait, what are you saying? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's Jesus or not. It's your sources. Jesus or the devil. Jesus or the devil. Like, what's your source? We're not the source, we're an echo of the source. One last thing, and then we're going to pray. I've got to share this. I shared this last service. I got to share it this service. I really felt like God wanted me to tell you something else. If you know me, you know, I don't use those words. I feel like God said, I don't use that lightly. I don't like to throw that around, thus saith the Lord, but I really felt like God wanted me to share this with you. There's a group of people in this room and maybe even some online that your biggest issue with words God's telling you, he wants to get your attention. Your biggest issue with words is not how you talk about other people or how you talk to other people. It's how you talk to yourself. It's your self-talk. Now, I know you don't get in the mirror and like have a conversation. I get that. But how many of y'all know there's far too many people that what we think about ourselves is horrible? Like, let's just be honest about that. Well, I'm ugly, or I'm a loser. Well, you know what? My dad was an alcoholic, and so I'm going to be an alcoholic. Well, you know, my mom and my grandma had breast cancer, so I'm sure I'm going to get breast cancer. You know what? I'm never going to amount to anything. You know, I'm worthless. I don't have any value. You know what my dad told me when I was little? It must be true. God's saying to a group of people today, stop talking to yourself like that. In the same way, oh, I feel the Holy Spirit working in somebody. In the same way that you would never talk to somebody else like that, stop thinking those things about yourself. In the same way that it's easy for you to think, well, somebody else is a child of God, remember the truth that you are also a child of God. So don't talk about God's kid that way. Don't think those things about yourself. Ask God, God, help me to see myself how you see me. God, I want to get in harmony with what you have to say about me. What do you have to say? Can I tell you, friend, God calls you loved. God sees you healed. God sees you set free. God puts up a shield around you of protection. God says, that's my son. That's my daughter. God says, you are more than a conqueror. Stop talking to yourself that way and instead take a step back and say, God, I want to speak to myself and say things how you say them over me. I want to see how you see me, God. Now stop it with all that nonsense. Some of you, this is your only word you need today. Stop putting yourself down. Instead, take a step back and see yourself, and God will help you if you ask him, but to see yourself how God sees you, that you have value, that even if you were the only person alive, Jesus still would have went to the cross so that you could be forgiven. You were on his heart when he was on the cross. This is the truth. He gave his life for you. What does that mean, Pastor? That means you have value. That he cares about you. I want you to bow your heads with me. Close your eyes. Jesus, I said everything I felt like you wanted me to say today. And I know, Holy Spirit, that you'll do the rest. I pray, God, for anybody underneath the sound of my voice that's struggling with self-talk. I pray today, Lord, they would make a change. They would stop talking and thinking those negative thoughts, horrible thoughts. They are not of you. That is not in harmony with what you have to say about them. They are loved. They are valued. They are enough. God's saying that to somebody right now. I really believe that. I really sense that. God's saying that. He says, you are enough. Loves you just as you are. Thank you, God, for even while we were sinners, you died for us. Thank you, God, for loving us first. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You've got an opportunity right now before we get to all the after stuff, and we hope you stick around for the food trucks and all the stuff for kids or grandkids. It's going to be fun. But before we get to all that stuff, this is the most important part of your day because you have an opportunity to commit your life to Jesus, to become a follower of Jesus. With every head bowed, every eye closed in the room, and if you're able to, safely online, I want you to listen to God right now. He'll speak to you. He's faithful. In fact, he's drawing you. He's kind of tugging at your heart. That's the best way to describe it. He's inviting you into a real relationship with him. Not religion, not even about a church or a message or whatever. No. A real relationship with the one true God. He wants to save you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to set you free. But he won't make you give your life to him. But you've got an opportunity right now in this holy moment to give your life. Here's how you do it. The Bible makes it really clear in another place. It's the book of Romans. The Bible makes it really clear how you give your life to Jesus. It's about belief and confession. To believe that Jesus is God. To believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead, that it really happened. And to confess that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. You can't save yourself, but Jesus can. The Bible makes it clear that if you put your belief in him, trust in him, and you confess and you ask him to forgive you of your sin, that he is faithful to save you. It's that simple, but God won't make you do it. It's a choice that he's extending. It's an offer. He's sliding across the table to you right now. I just believe with all my heart, this is why this church exists. It's on the bracelet that you maybe got before you came in. Heaven full, hell empty. It's what God wants for you. He wants you in relationship with him. So here's what you can do. Eyes closed. But you can whisper. You can whisper to him. Talk with him. And I'll coach you on what you can say. Jesus, you can whisper to him right now. Jesus, I believe that you are God. I put my trust in you, Jesus. I believe that you died on the cross, and I believe that you rose from the dead, that it really happened. I know it takes faith, God, but I put my belief and trust in you. And Jesus, I confess that I am a sinner. I am separated from you because of what I've done. But I also know, Jesus, that you are the Savior, and that because of your death and because of your resurrection, I can be forgiven of my sin. And that wall, that separation can be knocked down, not because of what I can do, but because of what you have already done. And so Jesus, it's so important you ask him this, friend. Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of my sin, to clean me up from the inside out. I give you my past, I give you my present, and I also give you my future. God, thank you for those that are saying that prayer, that are committing their life to you. It's the best decision they could ever make. And God, I pray they would know. And even James talks about this in an earlier chapter. I pray they would know that this is not the finish line. This is the starting line. That God, you've got so much that you want to do in them and through them. Lord, we love you and we give you all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcov.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcov.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.